Morning. It's I'm very happy to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me. We'll just consider the gospel together, the simplicity of the gospel. May God bless our hearts together as we consider him. And basically the gospel is him, the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you care to read along with me, I'm just going to read five small portions of God's Word. And we'll just read them in the order they come in the Bible. The first reading is in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 39, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Still in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And verse 29, Deuteronomy 32, 29. These are things that God would have us consider, as you'll see as we read. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. The third reading is in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 24, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. And literally, that is in the singular, it is consider what a great thing he has done for you. The next reading is in Haggai. That's the third from the last of the minor prophets, just before Zechariah and Malachi. Haggai chapter 1. This must be a very important consideration because it's repeated twice in chapter 1. Haggai, verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And the final reading, I just want to read the first three words of one verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. Excuse me. There we read, for consider him. And the Lord will bless, as he always does, the public reading of his precious word. A famous orator was once asked to recite Psalm 23. I'm not sure of the purpose of the gathering. There were a great number of people there. He was known as an orator. Very eloquent speaker and so on. So he recited Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and read it to the end. And when he finished, the audience clapped with excitement. Now, there was an old minister of the gospel that was there, and they asked him if he would recite Psalm 23, I think out of respect for the man. Well, he was clumsy. He was not very polished in his delivery. His grammar was a bit off. He read Psalm 23. It took him a bit longer than the famous orator. But when he finished, as they say, there was hardly a dry eye in the audience. They were moved to tears. at the reading of that wee little Psalm 23. And they asked themselves, what is the difference? And it was a famous orator who spoke, and he said, I know the Psalm, but he knows the Shepherd. And that is the place that God seeks to bring us all to, is to know the Shepherd, to be able to say from my heart, the Lord is my own personal Shepherd. That's the gospel. The gospel is a very simple message. It is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God bless you this morning. Perhaps there's someone here and you do not have this personal relationship. And you've been wondering and pondering your existence as to why you're here. Why is my heart? Why is there always a vacuum there? Why is it that no matter what I achieve or obtain, there's still an emptiness in my heart? The reason is explained very simply throughout the Word of God. It is like a hole, a vacuum in our hearts, and it's God-shaped. And only God can fill that vacuum. And God, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who longs to do that for us. And may He bless you and speak to you. May you hear His voice. I can remember a sign in Massachusetts coming up, a large sign. I'm not sure what they were advertising. But they said there is hearing, and then there is listening. And we really don't learn anything by just hearing. And when the Word of God is proclaimed, God would have us listen. And if I don't listen, then I won't learn. And I won't understand what God is seeking to convey to me. We've been asked to consider by God Himself 5 different areas of the Scripture. Now, the first one we read was, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, not just with our minds, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. God would have us to consider this divine one who demands obedience. And God would have us understand who was the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here. Well, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the one He was when He was upon the earth is the one He always was in eternity past. Now at the right hand of God and throughout eternity, God. A writer by the name of F.W. Pitt wrote these words. So we understand this divine one, the maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. The claims of law which He had made, unto the uttermost He paid. His holy fingers made the bow, which grew the thorns that crowned His brow. The nails that pierced His hands were mined, in secret places He designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which His body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er His head, by Him above the earth was spread. The sun that hid from Him its face, by His decree was poised in space. The spear which spilled His precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The sun that hid from him its face by his decree was poised in space. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks, his hands was made. And then finally, the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. He has the right to demand obedience from us. He does. We who are parents, we bring children into the world. And we know as parents we have the right to demand obedience from our children. We're responsible for them. We brought them into the world. And this Divine One has the right to demand obedience from every one of his creatures. Even without his word, the word of God, creation and all that creation contains teaches us that God is a God of order, who expects obedience from all he has made. And we see it all around us, above us and below us. The stars, the perfect order of the stars, fulfilling the purpose for which God made them, the sun, the moon, the earth, and all that the earth contains, obey God. They perform the deeds and the life that God designed them for, with one exception, and that is mankind. We are indeed a rebellious people. We are. We go our own way. The very famous band, very successful band from England, Pink Floyd, in their very well-known album called The Wall, there is a song called Comfortably Numb. And there is a universal bombardment, especially in these last days, attacking our minds and our hearts, of music with drugs and alcohol and man-made religions, the passion for pleasure and possessions and place in the world have resulted in masses of young and old becoming just that, just comfortably numb, going through life comfortably numb, not even knowing why I'm here, where I'm going, what's the great purpose of my life, insensitive to reality. In Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon sums up life under the sun. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hebrews 4:13 says, him with whom we have to do. And there's no escaping that. We all have to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate's wife was troubled. She had a dream. She came to her husband, and she told him of her dream, which was very troubling. And she said, have thou nothing to do with this just man? But that's an impossibility. We all have to do with him. Whether it is as my beloved Savior here upon earth, which is his desire, or in a coming day, no getting around him. He'll be my judge, everyone's judge. And what I'm speaking this morning is truth from the Word of God. This gospel truth is from cover to cover. Everything in the Bible pertains to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming into the world, and the great work he would accomplish at Calvary. He becomes the reason for living. So considering the Lord Jesus Christ's holiness and demands concerning obedience, it's only logical that we all should be compelled to consider something else than God expects us to. The deeds and the direction they're taking us in. Where are my deeds taking me? They're taking me somewhere. And so important is this truth that twice, as we read, the prophet Haggai said, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts." So we understand where this is coming from. Consider your ways. Consider them. My ways, not the ways of the world, not the ways of those around me, my friends, companions, even family and so on. God says, understand something. You are accountable. You are accountable to me. You live alone. You may have friends and family and so on, but you're really all alone down here, and we all know it. And when we die alone. So God says, now be wise. Now consider your ways. 10 times. 10 is the number in the Bible. One of the things it speaks of is man's responsibility to God, as the 10 commandments. 10 times in Deuteronomy, walk in his ways. His ways. Twice in Proverbs it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. In my own eyes it will seem right. But God says the end of that way will end in death, eternal separation from God. We cannot trust our hearts. It may seem right in my heart, but God says the heart, our own hearts, they're deceitful above all things. Our hearts deceive us. We cannot trust our hearts. Desperately wicked, God says, who can know it? We really don't know, and we can't understand. But God wants us to understand this truth. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your heart. You'll be deceived. There was a man who was a minister. He stood in a pulpit every Sunday, knew lots about the Bible, but unfortunately he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And you can have all kinds of knowledge in your head, but it won't do us any good. It's the heart. With the heart, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had never done that. And there was a very simple man who was there in the same house. I don't know the setting. But he was there. He detected that this man did not know the Lord Jesus Christ and was very content with his life. So we asked him, he said, "Sir, can you tell me what are the 3 most difficult words to say in the English language?" And he looked at him and said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like you to think about that this evening when you retire to your room. I'll ask you in the morning." He thought no more about it, and he just went to bed. But this Christian man, this very simple man, didn't forget. He understood the problem with this man. You know, he was going in a way that seemed right onto him. So the next morning he asked him, "Well, do you know those 3 words? And he'd actually forgotten the question. The 3 most difficult words for us to say in the English language. He said, "No, I don't know. You have to tell me." He said, "I will tell you. And they are these, sir: I am wrong." And we find that very difficult, to have my heart open to God and confess that to him. I am wrong. I've been going in a way that's not been pleasing in thy sight. And I thought I had all the answers, and I thought I had everything all figured out, and I thought I was good enough for heaven and so on, and now I understand my thinking was wrong. The summation of mankind is Leviticus 26:21, and it says, "Ye walk contrary unto me," and we all do. We're born that way. We can't help it. That's the fall in the Garden of Eden. We walk contrary unto his ways. We do it naturally. That's why a supernatural birth is needed by God. Changes our hearts. It's required. Or I'll never be able to walk in a manner pleasing unto him. I'll spend the rest of my life walking contrary unto him. Luke 23 and 41, the thief on the cross said these words, rebuking the thief on the other side who wasn't interested in eternity, just this life only. We receive the due reward of our deeds. Look where his deeds have taken him, and God would have us consider our deeds, how I live, and the direction they're taking me in. John Newton, we sang that lovely hymn this morning, Amazing Grace, and he had some guests in his home, and he mentioned the death of this young woman. And another lady was there, and she said, well, how did she die? John Newton said, there's a more important question than that you should ask. And she said, well, what could be more important than how did she die? He said, how did she live? As I live is a display of whether or not I live my life for me or I live my life for him. And that will tell the story. How do I live? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I seek his will for my life? Do I talk with him and walk with him and is there a measure of love in my heart for him? It's like a soul-searching question. Consider my deeds and the direction they're taking me in. Thirdly, we're asked to consider the demonstration of his divine love. Consider what a great thing he hath done for you. May God bless you this morning that you would understand. Yes, it was for us. But it was for you. That's the place the Spirit of God seeks to bring us to, that I understand it was for me. For my sins, he died on the cross. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God, Job 37:14. A statement concerning the world is made by Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 12. They regard not the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands, those lovely hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't have to force them from him, as every other criminal would have to have done, because we can picture them being put to death on a cross and how they would plead for mercy. Look for some ray of hope into the eyes of the soldiers, finding none. The operation of his hands, the Lamb of God. He looked into those soldiers' eyes with eyes of love, compassion, and he laid down his hands willingly upon the cross to have those long nails pierce those beautiful hands. And it's tragic that the world does not consider, most people, the demonstration of divine love. Edward Rayson Scott labored in India many years ago as a missionary. There was a tribe called the Naga tribe. They lived in Naga country in India. No one was ever able to go in there with the gospel because they were such a fierce people. They were very savage people. Somehow he learned the Naga language, and he knew that God wanted him to go. So go he must. His friends tried to persuade him not to go, because they told him nobody's ever been able to even get close to the village. They slay anyone who comes near. The British government at that time even offered him a military escort to bring him there. And he said, no, that would bring the wrong message to these people. I'm bringing a message of love and peace, not war. So he left alone. He was a very talented musician. He played the violin. He had a beautiful voice. He left with a violin case in one hand and a little bag in the other containing his Bible and a few belongings, and off he went. 3.5 days into his journey, he knows he's close to the Naga tribe, and he feels and senses he's not alone, and he wasn't alone. And suddenly they appeared from out of the brush, and they were savage. Their eyes displayed this. Their spears were leveled at his heart. But what amazed these men was the calmness and composure of Edward Rayson Scott. There was no fear in his heart because he knew he was in the center of the will of God. He very calmly put down the bag, very calmly took out his violin and tucked it under his chin. That startled them a little bit because they'd never seen a violin. They thought it was just some sort of weapon, especially when he took the bow. But then he began to play beautifully. And they were amazed. They'd never heard music in their life, generation after generation. And he sang a very well-known hymn written by Isaac Watts in their language, which amazed them. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when the incarnate Maker died for man, his creature's sin. The last stanza, thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. That's exactly what he saw. I suppose for those men, that was the first time they ever shed tears since they were children. God dissolved their heart to tears with this wonderful story of the demonstration of the divine love of God. God says, oh, consider it. Consider what a great thing I've done for you. Fourthly, excuse me, we read, oh, that they were wise, that they would consider their latter end. Understand this. Consider your latter end. And it's something that we don't like to do. But God says if you're a wise person, you'll consider your latter end. None of us know when it's time to leave our bodies. So it's a wise thing to consider, where will I be in eternity? God, we're told in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says God has placed eternity in our hearts. And that's why we all know deep down. That's why we are terrified of dying when I don't know Christ. Because I'm going somewhere, a destiny. And what most people don't realize is that I choose my destiny. I choose. It's not God. I choose. And I choose my destiny by what I do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can reject him. I can forget about him. I can keep him at arm's length and just live my life without him. And many do that, unfortunately, most people. They live their life without Christ. The tragedy is if I live my life without Christ, then I'll die without Christ. And the Bible says there's no hope for any that die without Christ as their Savior. I'll die in my sins. And he spoke plainly. You know, it's not interpretation. Some people say, well, you interpret it this way and we interpret it that way. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke plainly. He meant what he said and he said what he meant. He wouldn't obscure such something of great import, my destiny in eternity. He wouldn't do that because he loves us. And in John chapter 8, he said, if you die in your sins, which we all have, he made it very plain. He said, whither I go into heaven with my Father, ye cannot come. Now, that's very straightforward. The wages of sin is death. You know, payday someday. will reap the reward of our deeds if I live without Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A Christian man, he was returning home one evening in Shanghai, and a fine young-looking Turk approached him and said, "Sir, I'll tell your fortune. I'm a fortune teller, and I can tell what will happen in the future." And the Christian man said, "Well, how do I know that you tell the truth?" He said, "I have books. I tell by astrology." The Christian man said, "Well, I'd like to ask you a question first. If you can tell my future, you can certainly tell your own future. Tell me where you'll be in 100 years. He looked annoyed. He said, I don't know. But let me tell you your future. The man said, "You know, I'm also somewhat of a fortune teller. I have books too. And if I ask you a question, very simple, you answer this question, I can tell you your future." He said, "All right, go ahead. Tell me now, do you believe that Jesus Christ was God, our Creator, manifested in the flesh, died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and is the only way to heaven?" He said, "No, sir, I do not believe that Jesus Christ was God, and I don't believe any of that." Well, the Christian man said, "Well, let me tell you your future then." He took out his New Testament. He said, "Now, my book tells me, turn to John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." He said, "Sir, here's your future. Right now you're an unbeliever. The wrath of God, God's anger rests upon you because you will not bow the knee to his beloved Son. And if you live your life this way and die this way, in 100 years, sir, I tell you solemnly, you will be in a place called hell. That's your future." Now, he was greatly moved, and he asked him if he had another one of those books, he'd like to read it. The story ends there. I don't know what happened, but he certainly had the way of truth in his hand. Consider our destiny. And finally, consider the divine one who was delivered for our sins. He didn't come just to set an example of how to live. We couldn't live that way. Even after we're saved and born again, we could never, ever walk as he walked. But we have a power within us I never had before to help me on my way. And I press towards that mark, that high calling of God in my life, day by day. We read, consider him. Hebrews 3:1, consider Christ Jesus. Think about him. Him. He's the theme of the Bible. He's interwoven throughout all the pages of divine scripture. It's him. The Bible's about him. Life is about him. Eternity is about him. The person of Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification, Romans 4:25. Christian lady was concerned about her neighbor. She didn't know the Lord. She lived rather carelessly. So she invited her to come out to some special gospel meetings. And so, to please her friend, she came. And she sat quietly and listened as the simple gospel was preached. And by the way, that's what you've been hearing this morning. And the simple gospel hasn't changed for 2,000 years. After the meeting, they were quiet in the vehicle on the way home. So she didn't even bring it up. But she visited her the next afternoon. They had some tea and some chit-chat. Then she asked her a question. She said, "Tell me, well, what did you think of the preacher last night?" She very quickly said, "I didn't think anything of him." And she noticed a disappointed look in her friend's face. And this is what she said, with tears in her eyes, "I could not think anything of him. I could only think of the Christ he was lifting up before our eyes, the Christ who is now my Savior. For the first time in her life, she considered this divine one who was delivered for her sins, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered, and for you, dear one, may it not be in vain. May you be able to exclaim from your heart, as David and many here this morning and countless others, Psalm 18 and 2, the Lord is, notice the how personal it is now. He's my rock, he's my fortress, and he's my deliverer. He delivered me. I know he has because the Bible proclaims it. And if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says I'm saved the moment I believe. No bright lights, no bells. No, in my heart, I turn. Lord, I'm finally willing to admit I am wrong. And I've been going in a direction taking me away from you, but no more. That's repentance toward God. And I now let go of the reins of my life once for all. Turn them over to you. I bow the knee. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for me. I believe, I trust in you 100%. I know my church going, my good deeds could never take me to heaven. I'll die in my sins. I understand that now. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, you died for me. In fact, 16:31 says, if I believe on you, I'm saved. If you declare I'm saved, then that's exactly what I am. That's what you can be this morning, even as you sit in your seat. A personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in closing, Leighton Ford, the evangelist, was on a plane traveling somewhere. It was going to be a long flight. He prayed that maybe someone might sit down beside him who had an interest in the gospel. And he was wondering when the seat would be, someone would come and fill the seat. And finally, a stewardess was helping this very elderly lady. She sat down. The stewardess helped buckle her in and so on. So as they were in flight and got settled in, he began a conversation with her. And he said, you look like you've been around quite a while, this old world. And she said, yes, actually, I'm 96 years old. He said, I suppose you've seen a lot of people come and go. She said, yep. I suppose you've seen a lot of changes in things. She said, yep. I suppose you've seen a lot of new technology. Yep. He thought to himself, I'm not going to get anywhere with this lady. She doesn't want to talk to me. So finally asked her this question. He thought about it and said, tell me. What's the most important thing you know? She was very quick to answer. Turned her head around to him and looked him in the eye with a smile on her face. And she said, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's the most important thing. Everything else, all the knowledge I may have, pales into insignificance. That's what it's all about. I know him. I love him, and the Lord is my shepherd. And may God bless you this morning. If by chance there's anyone here and you don't know him, may you understand the simplicity of this gospel message. You may be saved even as you sit in your seat. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank thee for this little time we've had to consider him. Bless thy word, Father. We acknowledge salvation is of the Lord. We pray for blessing in this regard. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.